Okay, so let's go to the book of Daniel and start gathering more evidence here. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Notice all of the people involved that the mother would have involved in King Nebuchadnezzar. All of these astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans. Look at verse 3. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Now, listen. Nebuchadnezzar did not get to be king because he was stupid. Watch this. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. I don't remember the dream no more. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Boy, it's good to be the king. So King Nebuchadnezzar knew, hey, the thing's gone from me. You show me the dream and the interpretation. Look at verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. I mean, were they not listening? Sorry, I have to drink the tea now. Look, I've been talking all day at work. This is part of my job. I yak a lot. I teach preaching. My throat hurts. And by the time I get here at night, I need that tea. Tea for my little helper. They answered again and said, let the king, verse 7. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, look at the wording here. I know of certainty that you would gain the time. You're just trying to stall for time. Because you see, the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Hey, he's pretty smart there, old Nebi. Look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Now, what we're learning in this chapter regarding the mother, look at all the spiritual stuff that's going on here with the king, with all of his magicians. He obviously believed they could show him the dream. Okay, they must have had a track record of doing so. Verse 11, they're still talking. They're trying to save their skins. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause, the king was very angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. You know, I've read this Bible so many times, and when I read stuff like that with the king, and they can just make a decree and off with your heads. I tell you, America doesn't have a clue on what it means to live under a sovereign king. Okay, verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel's very wise. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Then Daniel and his fellows, that and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. See, God told him what was going on. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Great prayer, by the way. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Whoa, he's there to save the day. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now watch Daniel's answers, okay? They're very good. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. Oh, isn't that great? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar which shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Now, who's the only person who knows the thoughts of people's hearts? God Almighty. 1 Kings 8. Great homework assignment for you. Go look when Solomon is praying in 1 Kings 8. I think it's right around, verse 39, right around that neck of the woods. In the parentheses, he says, Only God alone knows the thoughts of the hearts of the children of men. Verse 31. Now he's going to tell him his dream and the interpretation. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What a day it will be. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation, therefore, before the king. Interpretation thereof before the king. Now remember, I remind you, yes, there's so much doctrine here. There is no way in the third level of edification here, the scriptures of the prophets, that I'm going to be teaching this. Now, that's in school. In due time, we'll go over the doctrine of Daniel. I'm just trying to point out things specific to the mother of Revelation 17. Okay? Verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. So now he told him the dream. Here's the interpretation. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Whoa. And after thee, see, I'm tempted to teach the doctrine. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, I have to point out this because I cannot read verse 44 to you, and it is part of the mother. I say that all to you because if you listen closely, if you want to understand the entire Old Testament, the earthly program, from Genesis 12 on, it actually started before Genesis. You can start it from the beginning with the promise made to Adam. If you want to understand after the fall, if you want to understand the entire Old Testament, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also the first seven chapters of Acts, and then connect that, jump over Paul's epistles, and start then with Hebrews to Revelation, okay? If you want to understand all of that, it's summed up in one verse, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's the issue. A literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom, just like King David had on the earth, with the Lord Jesus Christ at the head. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. One verse sums up the entire prophetic program. Verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known in the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. All right. Verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God, notice it still wasn't Nebi's God, it was Daniel's God, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Don't worry, God's going to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. Verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now what we can learn at specifically in our series, and the reason why I read it all is you have to understand what's going on in context. God Almighty is going to set up a kingdom which is going to stand forever. The mother is trying to thwart all that on the earth. Has been trying since Genesis. Okay? Now, there's different doctrine going on today. Because when the mystery was revealed through the Apostle Paul, Satan scrambled and had to come up with the mystery of iniquity. Even though he's always been deceiving people through subtle means, the mystery age in which we live, God's program, the dispensation of grace, Satan comes up with the mystery program of iniquity. They always counterfeit and combat what God is doing in whatever dispensation is going on at the time. So right here we can see that the God of heaven and earth is going to set up a kingdom, and it's going to stand forever. And no matter what the UN or anybody thinks, it's going to happen. Now, Daniel chapter 3. Now, with that in mind of this image, this is why I read that. Nebuchadnezzar gets the dream interpreted for our, more specific to our study. Now, here's the dream in this image. Remember what our flesh does? Our flesh is incurably religious. Our flesh wants to worship images because we want to control these gods. Our flesh, it has to be the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Watch Nebuchadnezzar, because he is a sovereign king. When he hears this, watch what he goes and does with it. Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Look at the response. Whose height was 60 cubits. This thing was tall. Made Goliath look like a shrimp. Whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now watch this. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. I do want to point out something here. Did you ever notice that counselors are always involved in goofy kings? All right? That book says, thy word, thy testimonies are my counselors. Jesus Christ and God Almighty is a capital C counselor. Okay? This book is your counselors. You don't need counselors. Okay? The counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, without going off the subject, just what you see happening here in during the literal time of Nebuchadnezzar, you think this is bad. Wait till the Antichrist gets here and that image with of the beast. Okay, but you got to get this foundationally in you first. Verse 3. No, we did verse 3. No, verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Oh, I gotta say it. On a side note, on a commercial break, oh my, we can't do this worship of this image because we need to hear it in the original languages because they're about to translate the words that Nebuchadnezzar once said. And did they lose anything in translation for all you heretics out there who think you need the Greek and the Hebrew? That's in all authority. Verse 5. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You gotta at least respect the fact that when Nebuchadnezzar's king, man, you do this, I'm gonna throw you in that furnace. Men back then had guts, to say the least. Verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, perfect illustration. This is basic 101 image worship. Okay? Wait till you get over there and what the Antichrist is going to do. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You know, if I was an earthly king, and someone said that to me, O king, live forever, I'm not going to live forever. I mean, you're lying to me, you goofballs. O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Perfect illustration of what's going to happen to the believer in the trip, we will see. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be cut and dry. You better worship that Antichrist or else. That's why the saints are going to do well in the trib, because they're established. They can't be tossed to and fro. Verse 13, you want to see a great passage of scripture. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, watch how he approaches them. He's pretty neutral. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? You see, he wants to find out for himself. He doesn't believe rumors. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, plural, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Notice, old Nebuchadnezzar, he was worshiping the God of Daniel, Daniel's God, but now he's worshiping the gods, plural. Whatever happened, old Nebuchadnezzar? It was the God of heaven. I guess you're ignoring all that Romans 1 truth built into you. Verse 15. Now, and he's still talking to him. Now, if you'd be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, everything's going to be fine. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, you want to talk about applying Proverbs right here. Buy the truth and sell it not. You see, Romans 8:36 is going to become a reality in the lives of real believers today. All of you phony professional church players out there who are kind of listening to these lessons because you all just ticked off that Eric John Phelps was named a heretic. I know who you are, okay? Because I got this wonderful program that lists IP addresses. San Antonio. But anyways, when you people sit there, the day is coming that you're going to have to stand for what you believe, and only established saints are going to make it. Now, it's amazing. Now, watch their answer in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, this is so great. I can't wait to see them. I just got to talk to these three. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I mean, hey, buddy, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not full of care. I'm not all worried about what I'm going to answer you in this matter. Verse 17, you want to talk about faithfulness. And remember some things. The Jews back then, they believed in resurrection, yes. They had their Old Testament up to this point. But they didn't know. I mean, was it going to be, they knew that in their flesh they'd see God, but they had no clue. They didn't really know that much what would happen to them upon death. They knew they had these promises, and they died in faith, Hebrews says. But I'll tell you what, this was faithfulness. So they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Our God is able to save us from this burning fiery furnace. That's what they tell him. But watch this. But if not, but if God decides not to save us from the burning fiery furnace, be it known unto thee, O king. Now that is the faithfulness there. And if he doesn't save us, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Foo! He stuck it right to him, didn't he? Man, he crammed those words right down back old Nebuchadnezzar's throat. We ain't going to worship it. And our God, he's able to save us. But if he doesn't save us, we're still not worshiping. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I think so. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was probably like this when he was talking to him initially. And then he went, he just freaked out. See, these are my questions I have for the Lord. Like, are we going to be able to, like, rewind time and be able to watch this scene as it happened? You know, like through video or something? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I mean, it was accustomed to be heated to a certain point when he threw other people in there. But you know what? I want this thing heated 7 times more than it normally is heated. And by the way, what does that remind you of? How about Revelation? In one of the things and the plagues that are hitting the earth, huh? The sun gets 7 times hotter than it normally is. See what man can do. God's going to show, hey, I'm going to show you 7 times hotter sun. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. So he takes his top soldiers in his army. Remember, the furnace is 7 times hotter. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now watch this. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, I mean, the king was just, get them in there now, and the furnace exceeding hot, the furnace was so hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the soldiers who cast them in, when they opened whatever they opened to throw them in, that big door, whatever they had there, it killed them. and kill the soldiers instantly. Wow. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. This is, you know what's amazing about this? This really happened. It really happened. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was a stone-eyed and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They're walking in there. They're not even any hurt. And the form of the fourth is like who? The Son of God. Now, isn't that phenomenal? Whoa, phenomenal. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now, I read all of this to you because what can we learn about the mother? He gets his dream about his image and he sets up this image with the threat of death if you don't worship the image. You see, and that's how horrible it was back then, what the mother had going on with Nebuchadnezzar. And the same thing is going to be infinitely worse in the trib for believers, in the tribulation, and for this world as they're deceived as Satan gives life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast is going to talk, and we'll see in Revelation. Now, I want to show you something here, though, that is so applicable to this study. You know, you've been learning a lot. I've been seeing a lot of comments, and people are amazed at how much is in the Bible. You see, if you really want to know the mother, you see how you just learn the scriptures? You don't sit there and go and do all these goofy studies about history of Jesuits and all that crap. That's exactly what it is. Well, that's the modern translation word, all that dung. You don't learn that. That's going to waste your time. You're supposed to be simple concerning evil, Romans 16:9 says. Simple. All right? What you need to know about evil is written in the Word of God. And you need to know that and that alone, because then you get strengthened by it, not overwhelmed and start getting all paranoid. So paranoid you think that the Jesuits are around every corner. In fact, you're so paranoid you watch a football game and you think they're talking about you in the huddle. That it's the Jesuits in the huddle. And they're talking about you on the next play. That's how crazy you get. Now, watch this though. When you follow the book of God, and this book is so phenomenal, watch the type of salvation and freedom and deliverance it gives you from the most hurtful, painful, powerful thing the mother could dream up of the day. A furnace 7 times hotter than ever, thrown right there, bound in your clothes and your hosen and everything just tied up, thrown in there, your hats, your garments, that you're cast right in there. Watch when you believe the scriptures. Now, hey, that may happen to you physically, but when you believe the scriptures and believe in the God of the Bible and what he tells you to do. Look at verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Look, it's even better than that. Nor was an hair of their head singed. They didn't even get a burnt hair. Neither were their coats changed. Their clothes, their coats didn't even change. The fire didn't affect them. Look at this. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Man, only God can do that. Only this book can do that. When this book is in you, it's such perfect salvation. And that's what I mean. You want to talk about more than conquerors, which is even more than that in Romans 8. More than conquerors. Well, it's even more than this. I got that. But here's a great illustration of how this fire, it killed those soldiers immediately who threw them in there. But not only did the fire have no power, not even one hair was an hair of their head singed. Doesn't say their hair, plural. Was an hair. Not one little hair. One little teeny hair singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed. They didn't even smell like smoke. You know, we have a fire pit here at the house, and brethren come over, and and four friends and brethren and lost people come over. We witnessed to them about the Lord and talked about the Bible. And we sit around the open fire pit. And you always smell like smoke after a campfire. Not here. Only the book and only the God of the book can keep you safe from the effects of the mother. Do you understand me? Only this book. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's what truly furnishes you unto all good works. This book. All right? And you don't, if you think this book is not perfect or pure, you're going to collapse. You're never going to go anywhere. You have to believe it's pure. And you have to know why you believe. That's why I have 17 hours of lessons there under all authority. And then you don't run to other languages. You believe that God's powerful enough to get you his book in your language. Okay? And you trust it. Now, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. The form is like the Son of God. Now he sent his angel. And delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's still not his God. I mean, are you getting this? How much more, King Nebuchadnezzar, do you need proof? You had your dream and the interpretation told to you, and you've just witnessed this, and he's still not your God. Against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. 37 minutes. Okay, good. So understand, that's a phenomenal passage in our series on the mother. All right, on what the mother and how powerful it's going to be. This is just, like I said, Mother 101. This is image and the worship of the big image 101. This is nothing compared to what we're going to read in Revelation. All right? But you get the idea, and the only way to stay safe is to believe in the God of the Bible. And you have his book. Here it is, right here. Okay? There it is. You believe in that King James Bible, and you won't even have the smell of smoke even touch you. All right. Daniel chapter... What's the next one? Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, that's what it is. Daniel 7, let's go there. We should have enough time for this. Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, so you got a new king here now, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now you see, I'm reading all this to you, because this stuff of Mystery Babylon, this dream that Daniel is having, this stuff is real. You see, you got to get this through your head. The stuff above your head, all right? That spiritual wickedness in high places and what's going to is really happening in Satan's dominions and principalities and powers up there, those princes, that spiritual wickedness that Ephesians 6 talks about, Colossians 1 says there's thrones, we're going to get to it all, but it's real. And see, the greatest thing Satan has convinced everybody of is that, nah, he doesn't exist, he really isn't doing anything. Watch all this spiritual activity that you're reading about. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Wow. Look at that. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I love him. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, plural. Thousand singular, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. What does that sound like? The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Revelation, huh? I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. You know, this is so precious to me. My eyes well with tears. My Father, my Savior. And this is going to happen. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. What good would a series of the mother be? If I just keep teaching you the mother. The mother is going to get slaughtered. Okay? Destroyed. You see, so you have to learn about the mother, yes. But remember, that's just the one side of the coin. All right, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, a good Bible verse too, by the way, is when you don't understand something, don't run to the commentaries of man. Did Daniel leave there and say, hey, I got to go find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, and ask them what's going on here? No. He went to the source, God Almighty, obviously, the angel, and what's going on here. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. In case there was any doubt, huh? Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Man, see that prevailing against the saints? Now listen. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear in Romans 8:36. You have an appointment at the slaughterhouse. All this stuff. Okay? And see, don't fall under false teachers. See, false teachers can get you hurt even in the earthly. Nowhere in the scriptures are we called to sit there and, yeah, you want to be wise. You want to avoid it as much as is possible. But when this stuff starts to happen, future from now, you're not going to win. So you don't need to go start probaptical, like the heretic wants to start, form your own nation and have your own military, like he says on the radio, that we will be exceeding fierce on the battlefield. Are you delusional? Yes, he is. Okay, you don't want to do that stuff. The saints... Oh, let's keep going. I beheld, verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Alleluia. And by the way, the King James Bible says Alleluia. A-L-L. Alleluia. Not Hallelujah, like the counterfeits. It's not Hallelujah, H. It's Alleluia. Okay? So that's why I'm saying it here. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom of the shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. You blasphemer. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And look at this. And think to change times and laws. Notice what the mother's involved in. The changing of times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. A time is the 1 year. Times is 2 more years. That's 3 years. And the dividing of time, that's 3.5 years. That's the 3.5 years of that part of the tribulation. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit. You know what I can never figure out? Why does Satan keep doing what he's doing when it's obvious what's going to happen? But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. How would you like to have been Daniel back then and got that dream? Okay,